use the term mean for metal flying.
Yeah, that's the correct term.
No.
You're also saying that you have come into contact with this Polish division?
Yes.
Any story? Any anecdotes about them at all?
I just met them after they returned from a little jaunt 57 miles in Jerry's territory by going to a map reference on the wrong series of maps. I had to go to their divisional headquarters at lunchtime to pick up a fire pan or something, and they invited me to stay to lunch with them. Their servants were busy laying tables out in the open with white tablecloths, nice silverware, cutlery, crystalware. The waiters were in white jackets, as if they were in a mess in a barrack somewhere, and put on a very sumptuous meal at lunchtime.
You didn't have to live. You were also involved with, like, I got this called Operation Total Eyes. You were, if you look at sketch 14 of Stacy's Victory Campaign, you were one of the, I believe here, Verriers? I'm not sure.
Verriers.
Verriers is how you pronounce it. And you'd be attached then with the 2nd Canadian Infantry or 2nd Canadian Armored Brigade at this point, or were you with someone else, do you recall?
It's difficult to know exactly what unit I was supporting at that point. The 3rd Medium was basically supporting the 4th Armored Division. But I could have been with the 2nd Infantry Division.
What was your role at this particular point?
Just an observation post officer for the artillery, that's all.
Well, what just exactly does an observation officer do besides
the He directs artillery onto the either targets of opportunity or indicated targets indicated by the infantry.
And do you keep, I guess, how should I put it, to make sure the fellows are hitting what they're supposed to be? Do you keep tabs on them after the fact? Do you check their accuracy rate?
Well, you have to correct the fire.
Correcting the fire, sure. All the time?
Yes. Moving it around if necessary. Sure. I guess I was still with the Second Canadian Armored Brigade at that point there, because they were the ones I went down to Falaise with.
You mentioned that when you were in Verriers that you saw a fellow drive his truck right up to the Germans or something.
A medium gun tractor, gun, all the equipment and crew. Misread their map and went too far and drove right into the Germans' lines.
Which drove right across and ended up in the German lines themselves.
Right.
And you watched this.
Nothing I could do about it.
There's just no contact with the trucks at all, I guess, when they're running? Or was it, you didn't have radio contact?
Wasn't my regiment.
Wasn't it nothing to do with you? After the Falaise operation, you ran down to Falaise. What did you do then, I guess? What was the role of the regiment at this point?
Well, when we'd finished closing the gap up, we turned east and hightailed it as fast as we could towards, well, I left the tanks at Abbeville. And the regiment was coming right along with the tanks. Fourth armored tanks.
Head up towards Holland itself, or into Germany or France, or what was your...
No, we went to Abbeville, and then we went... Well, of course, Abbeville was before Cape Grenay and Calais, and from there we went up to the Leopold Canal, then Breskens, to the Skeld Estuary. And then from there we made a mad dash up to Nijmegen, where we arrived on the Armistice Day. And then I left and was seconded to the 6th Airborne Division.
So on Armistice Day you were where again, sir?
Nijmegen.
Where's that?
Arnhem.
I'm sorry?
Arnhem.
Around Arnhem?
Nijmegen. We got to Nijmegen, we couldn't get to Arnhem, remember?
That's right. What was your feeling when armistice was declared?
Well, this was not that, our armistice on this one.
I'm sorry.
This is the 11th of November I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. You thought by 11 November you'd made the Arnhem there.
We got to Nijmegen on the 11th of November. And I was sent to England to join the 6th Airborne Division.
So then you were shipped back to England itself. What was the feeling in England this time? Very optimistic,
yes. War was going to be over by Christmas time, almost.
It was going to be over by Christmas again.
Oh, we'd made such tremendous strides.
What about the, do you recall the V-1s at all at this point?
I never was mixed up with the V-1s. The V-1s were over by that time, because we got Cape Grenay, Otter Kelly. The V-2s, I'd never got mixed up with them at all.
Good, then you joined the 6th
Airborne Division.
And what was your role with the 6th Airborne Division?
Well, a special communications section that came into being because of the Arnhem show. If it had this section in Arnhem might have been a complete success.
I'm sorry, sir, I don't follow you.
What was
the problem?
The Airborne at Arnhem was trying to get the artillery, which on the south side of the Rhine, to support them, but the artillery felt that it might have been the Germans who were trying to get
them to do it.
See? So we formed a special communication section for the Rhine crossing.
So this would be like a liaison communication?
That's right. We were all experienced artillerymen, and our role wasn't to jump with the airborne, although we were qualified jumpers, most of us. Rather to be with the artillery units on the west bank of the Rhine when the airborne dropped on the east bank, and they had a direct communication with the artillery to call for support. And 20 minutes after the drop across the Rhine, in the early part of March, we had all our radios netted. 20 minutes after the drop started. And it was extremely successful. The 17th Airborne didn't have this communication, and they were passing all their intelligence through us over to their corps west of the Rhine crossing.
Yeah, you were in on the operation itself?
Not jumping, no. I was with the artillery on the west bank.
So then you left England after this point and then went back to join the artillery to receive information from your colleagues that were jumping? Am I getting this correct now?
Except that the Ardennes show came in between. We were sent over to the Ardennes.
Uh-huh.
Instead of the 6th Armored Division, which we're re-equipping in England, the order got crossed up in the 6th Armored Division, and 6th Airborne Division was ordered over in place of the Armored Division. So here was a specially trained, lightly equipped division sent in against heavy armor in the Ardennes show.
It was a pretty tough show there, wasn't it?
It was a miserable show. It was cold and, well, there was a lot of snow and ice around. And everybody was jittery as all get out, but thankfully the Americans had left our area, so they were shooting first and asking questions maybe afterwards. But it was just miserable, cold.
Your regiment at all take part very much action during this campaign at all, or was it just
my regiment?
Or, I'm sorry, you yourself.
Yeah, which operation are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm talking about the Ardennes itself.
No, I was merely a liaison officer.
You're strictly liaison officer at this point. It must have been a little disheartening after all the successes prior to, or was it?
Well, actually, it was a surprise that
Jerry was able to get the troops together for the Ardennes show, but the fact that he had all these troops in one place and committed all his, practically all of his remaining armor and a lot of his heavier equipment for one show, I think it probably shortened the war down considerably.
Yeah, but did you realize this at the time, though?
I think I did, yes.
You figured that there was something amiss here. You didn't think this was...
I thought it was a damn good idea giving him another clobbering. Sure. He was concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ran out of gas, so he had to abandon all of his equipment.
Well, wasn't the tank engagements themselves almost a standoff, though, with the numbers lost on each side?
Well, we had more tanks
more
to lose.
I understand we had more to lose, and therefore we won. I understand that. We could replace where he couldn't, but...
We had some wonderful tanks. I remember seeing, going up to the Ardennes show, I remember seeing a field with four Shermans, one in each corner knocked out, and a Tiger, or a Panther in the center of the field knocked out.
Four for one.
Mm-hmm. At that same time, I saw the Americans firing 25-pounders given to them to the British because they didn't have the ammunition up there. I saw that with my own eyes. Then later on, I was attached to the American division headquarters for a month. And every Sunday, we used to have fresh citrus fruit for breakfast, and either roast chicken or roast turkey, other meal, right up in their front.
They knew how to feed their fellows, eh?
But they didn't know how to supply the guns.
What is it with the American supply business? Because it seems they always have the turkey dinners, as you're saying. They have all the fresh juices and the turkey. They have all the proper tents and all this. Was just an abundance of equipment and no logistics.
I think it's a lack of discipline, lack of priorities in connection with the discipline. I had a couple of men with me in this same time, and they got very sloppy. They weren't shaving in the morning, they weren't tying up their boots properly, they weren't dressing themselves or keeping themselves clean in any way, shape, or form. So one morning I saw them at the truck, 9 o'clock, and I said, just look at yourselves. I'm bawling you out now. Just look at yourselves. Would you be allowed to go around like that, regimental lines? I said, well, I don't want to see you anymore like this either. So I want to see you once morning in the headquarters, shaved, washed, properly dressed, shoes polished, one smart salute in the morning, that's all I'm expecting. And please don't let me down. So the next morning they came in and gave me that smart salute, and they looked as if they were going on a parade square. And after they'd left, the colonel in charge of the headquarters looked at me and he said, Captain Rose, is this some special day for the Canadian Army? I said, no. Why? He said, well, what was all that about? I said, well, that's how they're supposed to go on unless they're right up in the front lines. So there was probably a minute to 2 minutes silence. And in quite a loud voice, he said, I wish to hell I could get some respect around like that around here. And most of the 20-odd people in the office, and the office were officers.
Well, that's almost a tradition with them to be sloppy, isn't it? Or
Never mind, I can't criticize them.
They're good fighters, or what?
I declined to comment.
You declined to comment. What's left to say?
If Monty hadn't stepped in and moved about two or three divisions on the north flank of the Ardennes show, they'd probably have been successful.
I think they didn't stand for themselves very well in Europe, the Americans.
I'm afraid I still won't comment.
You still won't comment. You had good liaison, though, with the Americans and with the British. Or was that, well, you, yourself were involved. I was wondering how you felt about the liaison. Could have been a lot better, or?
Didn't do anything. I was supposed to be liaising with the American division after the Ardennes show, but I didn't do anything except sit around in front of a nice big open fireplace, roaring fire, and enjoy their good rations for a month or 6 weeks. That's the only real experience I had with the Americans. British, I didn't have very much with them either. It's more all Canadian.
Canadian operation at this point. There was a big desire at this time by the Canadian government to have all the Canadians together. Now, were you aware of this at that time?
No, that's why they brought the First Corps up from Italy.
How did you feel about that personally?
It didn't make any difference to me.
Just didn't care?
No. It was just a political ambition, I think, to have an army rather than two independent corps.
I'm just wondering because, just how the men felt about it at the time. Would you rather fight with Canadians than, say, the British or anyone else,
yeah.
Or just really just didn't matter to you?
Yeah. The thing is that we knew the British divisions with us. We didn't know the Canadian divisions coming up from Italy.
So, were you skeptical at all of the Italy?
I don't think I had time to be skeptical or anything. And besides, on top of all that, at this point, I was with the British division anyway. I was with the 6th Airborne.
Well, after the Ardennes business, you were with the Americans for what, a month to 6 weeks?
Somewhere like that, yes.
Then where did you go?
Went back to England to get ready for the Rhine crossing with the Airborne again.
With the Airborne. After the Rhine crossing, the war's pretty much over. Is that correct, or was there any particular operation you remember?
No, I was with the airborne until we got up to Hanover, I think it was, in that area. And then I was sent back to my own unit, which I joined only two gun positions before the end of the war. The last gun position was in gun range of Wilhelmshaven.
Just instead of Wilhelmshaven,
yeah.
How did you feel when it was over?
Well, I remember when I heard it, I was standing in a little collection of German houses on a small country road, and right there was a minefield which the German civilians had posted as a minefield, and I thought to myself, well, I'm damn well not going to walk in my sleep and wander into that mess.
Nothing other than that, just a question of general safety and coming out in one piece.
Well, unfortunately, the gun position before that, two of our men blew themselves up on a landmine.
There's a lot of booby trap, landmine type things around.
Yes.
Very cleverly disguised, or what was the...
Well, we were in the bank of a railway embankment leading onto a railway bridge, actually. I didn't see them, naturally. The men didn't see them either. But I had the gruesome task of telling the brothers of both of these fellows that their brothers had been killed by a landmine.
But you had to do that?
Yeah. I wasn't even there when it happened.
What's that like?
I'll leave that to your imagination.
It's pretty bad, eh?
It certainly is when it's just right at the last week of the war. Horrible.
When it was over, did you expect to become part of an occupation army at that time, or what did you?
They asked for volunteers for that, and I'd been in since 39. I didn't want to stay in any longer.
Was there not also a call for volunteers for the Pacific campaign?
Yes, there was. And those were called for and shipped out earlier, actually. Then they got back to Canada, of course, and the Pacific thing folded up.
Actually got back before the fellows did, yeah.
I was, right, as soon as I rejoined the regiment south of Wilhelmshaven, the colonel put me down for an aerial OPIP course. thing that they'd lead us out in the Far East. And of course that was scrubbed too.
Well, you went back to England, is this correct? In what, the war was what, May?
Over in May.
Over in May, so when you went back, what, June, early June? Or?
No, we were just pulled back into Holland and sat around Holland.
You sat around Holland for about how long, do you recall?
Well, I didn't get back into, I wasn't on a draft to come back to Canada until September. The reason being is that the high-pointed men were given priority coming home.
First in, first out, was that the type?
That's the idea.
Yeah.
But they realized that practically all the captains over there were high-pointed men. And if they'd let the captains come back, they wouldn't have any captains left. So they froze all the captains. I was on a draft coming to come home in June. They froze us all.
Yeah, did the same thing, a lot of things with sergeants, senior NCOs,
yeah.
Also, I
mm-hmm.
understand.
Yeah. So I didn't come home until September.
Were you bitter about this at all? Or?
In a way, yes. But then I could understand it. In my case, there was no particular reason for me being there because I wasn't doing anything.
Was there a big fear when you got back to Canada about jobs? Things like that, or were you assured from the bank?
I was assured job.
So you weren't worried about possible.
The bank guaranteed my job when I left.
When you left, now where did you go to Aldershot?
Well, pretty close to there. We were built at a cove, fairly close to Aldershot.
What was your activities while waiting to ship out? Do you recall at all?
Daily leave.
Well,
actually, they gave us a leave 2 and 3 days a week at a time, waiting for the ship.
Were you off to London or big cities?
Yeah.
Is there anything left in London to see?
Oh, yes. Definitely. Well, the Germans wouldn't believe it, but London was still standing. They'd been told it was absolutely flat.
Is that right?
Yeah. Absolutely flat.
In retrospect, what did you think of the German forces?
They were good soldiers. Very good soldiers. They took an awful lot of punishment. But I think that their discipline was through fear of the SS. Their equipment was overrated in the quantity, but the quality was excellent. They had the best, by far the best gun in the 88, and they had by far the best tanks, except that the Tiger tank, built in Czechoslovakia, I believe, a German who'd been in the Tiger tanks in Normandy was telling me that their replacement pins for the tracks weren't hardened properly, and they'd no sooner replace a broken pin with one of these new ones and the thing would break again. But they basically their armor and their 88 gun were outdid ours by a long, long way.
Wasn't the 88 supposed to be an anti-aircraft to start with?
It was.
On tanks and they threw it on trucks.
Self-propelled. That's a marvelous gun. Absolutely fantastic. I suppose I'm the only man who can honestly say that he saw the shell leave the muzzle of an 88 gun aimed at him, burst 6 feet behind him, hit by a piece of the casing, and then heard the gun. And if I hadn't seen the brick in the flash of the gun, I wouldn't be here today talking to you. I just saw it and dropped into my slit trench, my observation post. Then I couldn't find the gun until the next day when I flushed him. Got a direct hit on the rear bogey with a 100-pound show. And he just kept on going. And a day or so before, I knocked a turret off a medium-sized tank, sent it spinning in the air 20 feet with the same shell.
Was it the Tiger?
No, a self-propelled
ADA. When you left England, what was the ship accommodation going back like? Any better or worse, or just indifference? Or?
Well, I don't think there was quite such a crowd on board. I was in a cabin with, mind you, at this point, I wasn't coming back with a unit. I was coming back just on a repat draft. Had no responsibilities other than to get myself where I was supposed to go. There were 20 of us officers in the big cabin, or what had been a cabin or a suite on the Louis Pasteur. And it was very pleasant coming back. No blackouts. We could go out on deck after dark if we wanted to, but it was a pretty rough crossing. The ship was delayed 24 hours in docking at Quebec City. Waves are breaking right up over the bridge in this 20,000-ton ship.
What was it like to get back in Canada after the war?
Wonderful.
That's the only way to describe it.
All the time I was away, I was looking forward to my first breakfast on the CPR train, not expecting to be able to get it. I was told, we left Quebec at midnight, told not to hurry into the manning car for breakfast, go in when we wanted, which I did, rather late. The waiter asked me what I would like for breakfast, and I said, well, I know what I'd like to have, but I don't know that I can have it. And I ordered my breakfast I'd been thinking about for 3 years. I said, fine, sir, just a moment. He started feeding me it. And then when I was finished, he said, would you like to start again? Got exactly what I'd been anticipating.
What was it?
Well, it started off with half a grapefruit, cornflakes and cream, bacon and fried eggs, toast, marmalade, and coffee. Not just one egg, eggs.
Does it meet your expectations?
Very definitely.
No, I guess you came across, then you go back to Petawawa, or did you go straight across?
Came straight through to here.
Straight through to Victoria itself. Then you mustered out here in 46?
No, I had to go back to Vancouver a little month, October of 45.
Then you mustered out immediately, or?
A month later. Well, it gave us a month leave.
I had no regrets leaving the Army at all, or?
Hmm?
You had no regrets leaving
not
the
really,
Army?
No. Nope.
Didn't consider Army life for you at that point?
Well, I suggested I'd consider the interim force, but they wouldn't tell me where I'd be or what my prospects were or anything else, except that they warned me that I might be demoted down to NCO even. And I'd have to go up to Vernon, I think it was, when my home was here. So I wasn't happy with all that nonsense, so I said, no, thank you. Stayed with the bank.
Then you immediately rejoined the Bank of Montreal.
Well, I didn't start working until January the 2nd, 46.
Was this in town here again, or was it
Squamoff?
Squamoff, right. How did the bank treat you as a returning serviceman? Were you given special consideration?
I wouldn't say so by any means, no. One of the reasons I left them, actually. People who had been my seniority when I left were all getting $100 a month more than I was when I came back. And they wouldn't give me any reason or why, and I just felt I wasn't getting a fair shake.
Were you given 4 years seniority while you were gone, or was it just that your seniority, you would not lose what you gained before? Is that the deal they had offered?
What did it amount
to? I guess guys that hadn't gone had progressed up the company ranks.
I'm getting this extra income.
And making the extra $100.
Yeah.
Well, how did you feel about the NRMA or the zombies during this time?
Don't ask me.
Why not? It's safe to say.
Just don't ask me.
Didn't think too highly of them?
No, never did. And I still don't.
there any hold any resentment against these people?
I don't hold resentment against those people. I hold the resentment against the politicians who created the situation in the first place.
Mackenzie King.
Well, he's the main one, I guess. And yeah. I think anybody overseas feel the same way, too.
Did anybody overseas like the Liberal government or Mackenzie King at the time, or is it just indifference?
Oh, no.
Wasn't indifference either.
I don't think so, no. No, they felt that... we felt that he was letting us down. The politicians were letting us down. Definitely. Well, is this the sort of remarks you wanted?
Sounds great. Thank you very much.